Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Sports Radio 1043 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Mike. What day is it, Mike? Pump day.
It is that. I love that. I laugh every time I hear that little audio from the Geico commercial. Jerry Schimmel in for Mike Evans this morning, along with my German friend from Alaska. That sounds weird, doesn't it? German man from Alaska. How you doing this morning?
I'm doing good. How are you, Jerry?
I'm doing well.
That's great.
Doing well. Hump day, always a hump day for you. What kind of day is Wednesday for you?
Same
old stuff.
It's the same as Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, pretty much.
Is it?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, during quarantine, it certainly is. Yeah, I mean, every day just kind of blends. They're all days that end in Y.
Exactly. You know? Yeah.
They're all pretty much the same.
Are you one of those guys that's like, God, Jesus, Monday, it's a tough day.
No.
Hey, it's Friday, man, let's go.
No. Every day is Friday. I mean, listen, I'm blessed to come in here 3 hours a day and doink around on the radio. Today's a big day because I get to take my granddaughter to Taekwondo. That's like my...
Oh, really?
That's a big thing for me. Yeah.
That's awesome. How old is she?
She's 7.
You have a 7-year-old granddaughter?
Yeah. And
wow.
That is an absolute... You know, gas. We talk about being focused, and she got herself a stripe on Monday. You know, you get a little stripe on top of your green belt, and so then I called her striper for the rest of the night. You know, and it just,
oh,
just
awesome.
Yeah, I just love.
Oh, that's
I
so
love
cool.
being a part, man. I love being. It's the same thing I have with my kids. You know, I just wanted to be a part. I was never going to outsource the raising of my kids to somebody else to do it. So
I got you.
You know, for me, that's a big thing. They let my kids take her and, you know, hang out with her. And that's like our time. So it's
that's
fun.
That's cool. That is so cool. I'm a little older than you, and you're ahead of me. We have one granddaughter who turns 1 on Saturday.
Isn't that awesome?
She's 1 on Saturday. She's walking. So cool.
Yeah. And then I have a three and a half year old. I showed you the video. She loves our dog. really, every inch of that dog. She just loves that dog. So anyhow, but it's just a gas. It's a lot of fun to be around.
You showed me a video. We won't discuss it, but you showed me a video yesterday, folks. And every time I thought about it like 5 times yesterday after we left here, and I just started laughing every time.
It is classic. If you want to see it, go to my,
online?
On my Twitter page.
Okay.
It's at Mark Schlereth, and it's very tender for the first, 47 seconds. It's a very tender video. And it escalates quickly.
It just escalates
very quickly.
She has taken an animal anatomy class.
That's pretty smart
for a 7-year-old.
That's the 3-year-old.
Oh, that's the 3-year-old.
Yeah,
okay, I got you. Yeah,
that's
right. She looks like a 3-year-old. Okay.
Yeah.
Do they call you Grandpa Stink? What do they call
Popo.
You?
Popo.
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 Right.
I'm
okay.
Popo.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Because, you know what? I'll be honest with you. Maybe you've heard this before from people, but getting used to that nickname Stink is a little difficult for me. I don't know why.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, because, you know, most of my guys are like, yeah, Marco Polo. Hey, Polo, what's up? You know, Shem Dog.
Right.
Stink.
Yeah, it's a...
Yeah, it's a different one.
Yeah, but it wears on you quickly. Or it grows on you quickly.
Sure, I'm sure it does, So here's a question for you.
Yeah.
How long do you have to kind of know somebody or be around somebody to use their nickname?
Because
you and I have never really spent a lot of time. We met each other a couple times before all this.
Yeah.
And it's just, man, should I call him Stink? And Mark? Mr. Schlereth?
I think most of the time, I mean, I get it through airports. I'm walking through airports, Stink, but I think it's cool. I think it's, that to me is anytime you feel comfortable enough to approach people and respectfully, Stink is great. You know, now I have a lot of people that say, I just won't call you that, I don't know you.
But how about like a guy like, okay, Schimmel shows up at the radio station, starts working with you and calls you Stink the first time he sees you. He's like, you know, he really doesn't know me that well. You know, maybe he should kind of ease into Stink.
Yeah, there's part of that too, that you just kind of want to, you want to ease into it. But no, it's all good. We're good.
Yeah. It's funny because I was working with Nick Ferguson a couple weeks ago, and he asked that question because we had Steve Foster on, the Rockies pitching coach.
Right.
And everybody calls him Fosty.
Frosty.
Or Fosty the Snowman,
yeah.
Or, you know, Foster Lager. He's got like six names.
Right.
And Nick's like, Mr. Foster, Steve, can I ask you? He's like, no, yeah. I'm not using those names. I don't know this guy. I've never met him before.
Right.
So
yeah.
I kind of see that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
There's
yeah,
a
yeah.
little respect there.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, they, like, if you know a guy and you have a relationship with a guy and you've been around that guy, then I think the nickname is fine. I think that if you don't, like, I worked with a radio host years ago, never met Kiki Vandeweghe, and called him Keek on air. And I turned my mic off while I was answering a question. I go, don't do that.
Yeah.
You don't know this guy. You don't know him.
That's my point. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So there is, you know, there is like, there's a respect factor where you earn the right to use that. Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. So I'm just, I guess.
But we're beyond that. We're good. We're good.
We are. You and I are good on that.
You and I are good. Yeah.
All right. Cause I didn't struggle with it, but I thought, like, what do I want to call him? Does DeHuff have a nickname?
That you can mention?
Yeah.
His, nickname. Well, he's got.
Wrestling victim.
He's got several nicknames. I'm trying to think of, you know, which one is most popular around here. Urgent Care. He goes by Urgent Care quite often. So I think that's probably the one that we're using the most around here right now is Scott Urgent Care DeHuff. So.
Did you know that he?
UC.
Oh my
God. Call him UC.
I don't know if I should be sharing this, but do you know that he broke another rib like a month after you broke his?
Oh, yeah, I know.
Playing football?
Yeah. he was playing catch with his son.
So, okay, you know the story then.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, how do you break a rib playing catch with a 7-year old? 7-year old lit him up. Urgent Care. Hensworth nickname, Urgent Care.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You guys are jerks. You know that, right?
Urgent Care. Hey, UG, what's up, man?
Yeah. hey, if the cast fits, wear it.
Oh, burn. Solid burn from Mark. You know what your nickname is? I can't say it on the air because it's inappropriate, but it's true.
Yeah.
Good.
You know, Schimmel used to call me Speak and Spell. Do you remember that, Jerry?
Oh, yeah.
When I used to, Jerry used to do the Nuggets games, and I would be doing work in here, talking down to Jerry.
I forgot about that one.
And I'm so monotone at times that you're like, you sound, either you or Kaz brought up that I sound like the old... The cow says,
"Yeah,
moo."
Doesn't he though?
Yeah, he does.
He's got the deep voice and he talks slowly.
Right.
It's like, and you can kind of hear it once in a while on this station. It's like, this segment on The Fan is brought to you by Siltahar Motors. I'm Speaking Spell.
The cow goes, moo.
Speaking Spell. You can use that one if you want.
Yeah, I like that.
Moving forward. All right. Hey, yeah, I guess we should talk about sports since this is an all sports formatted radio station, huh? Let's do this when we come back. Justin Simmons. I think that whole situation has gotten my partner this week a little steamed. We're going to talk about his situation next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. People care about three things when buying a vehicle. Number one, price. Siltahar Motors has the best prices and financing options that fit everyone's current credit and financial situation. Get zero down and 0% financing for 72 months. Number two, selection. Siltahar's five dealers in one offering Ford, Lincoln, Mazda, Volvo, and Maserati with hundreds of new and used cars, trucks, and SUVs on the lot. And number three, location. Siltahar's right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth or view their entire selection online at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
We've got some suggestions for a nickname for Scott DeHuff on the RamosLaw.com text line. I like this one, H.R. Huff and Stuff.
Yeah.
You got to be an old-timer, though, to know
right. What
that means, H.R. Puff and Stuff, an old
right. We
TV
came
show.
Up, we actually came up with that one.
Did you?
Weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
So
okay.
Calling H.R. H.R. Huff and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't remember why. Oh, H.R. because he was always, that's why I made that.
He's always going to H.R.?
He was always going to H.R. because he's always, you know, I mean, you know, I had, I think I got him a little mad last week because I said my throat feels scratchy Thursday. And I was going to go with hey, feel my forehead. Is it feverish Friday? But, quick texting me back. So I think he got a little bit cranky. So I was like, maybe it's time to lay off, you know. For HR Huff and stuff.
All right. Urgent care. We'll leave him alone for
now. Yeah, we'll leave him alone for now.
You see his...
He's paid his penance.
All right. Okay. Let me preface by saying I know it's so easy for us to spend other people's money, Broncos money.
Right.
But I say this. A week ago, I think everybody would have given the odds of Justin Simmons signing a long-term deal with the Broncos as pretty good, probably better than 50-50. As we get closer to today, as we got closer to today, and what is it, 2 p.m. or 4 p.m. today is the deadline?
Four Eastern, so 2 p.m. our time.
So 2 p.m. our time, 4 Eastern, right. To get this done. It doesn't look like it's going to all indications are, you never know, because these things happen at the 11th hour, but it looks like Justin Simmons will not sign that long-term deal and take that franchise tag at 11.4. I know that's frustrating for a lot of people, I think including yourself, correct?
Well, it is, and you're 100% right. Let me just say that, you know, it's always easy to sit in the chair that I sit in, right, and go, you should sign him to a long-term deal. That is an easy – I understand that is an easy – it's an easy position. Well, I think it was Mac Brown who once said, and I've stolen – I've used it many times. I very rarely give him credit for it, but I think it was him that I stole this from. He said, you know, opinions are easy. Decisions are hard.
Mm.
It's easy to have an opinion.
Mm.
You know, I mean, just open up social media. It's easy to have an opinion, right? It's hard to make decisions.
Yeah.
You know, you at some point you got to lay it out there. But when you juxtapose it to what Kansas City is doing right now,
right,
that's what makes it a little bit frustrating. So you have not only done your homework, you have drafted somebody in the third round who's exceeded expectations, who's become a all-pro player, second team all-pro player, who's arguably the one guy that's top 10 in his position on your roster, maybe two guys. And you can't find a way, you can't find the money to get him a long-term deal. Meanwhile, the world champions who are, you know, an eight-hour drive away from here have signed their quarterback, who's the best quarterback in the National Football League, has got the best touchdown-to-interception ratio, the best yards-per-pass ratio, every statistical category in the history of the league. To start a career, but in the history of the league, he's got the best of essentially everything. Just found a way to sign their quarterback to a $500 million deal. And then they took their defensive tackle, who's a top 10 player in this league, who many people said, well, now they're not going to be able to sign Chris Jones, and found a way to get him a $100 million contract and sign him long term. They have found a way. In a day and age where 30% of your roster turns over, to have 20 of 22 starters coming back. Everybody talks about how bad their defense was last year. Do you know that they were the number one scoring defense the last 6 or 7 weeks of the season? They were the best scoring defense the last 6 or 7 weeks of the season. So, I mean, you're talking about a team that's found a way to get that done, and our one guy who's an all-pro, we can't find a way to reward that guy. And I will just, I mean, as long as I'm blasting, I'll just keep blasting. You know, everybody who says, you know, Colin Cowherd came out, oh, the Broncos match up favorably. And, you know, a lot of people look at what we did in the draft and the speed. Oh, now we can match up with the Kansas City Chiefs. Do you know, I read this yesterday and I haven't researched it. So I'm just assuming that what I read was pretty close to the truth. Since Andy Reid took over the Kansas City Chiefs in 2013, they have drafted 9 Pro Bowl players since 2013.
That's remarkable. Yeah.
9 Pro Bowl players. Do you know how many we've drafted since John Elway took over?
Well, Von Miller's one.
One.
That's it. That's it.
That's it. From a draft standpoint. Now, Philip Lindsay went to the Pro Bowl. So he wasn't drafted. So I'll give him 2. I'll give them two.
Yeah, technically no, but yeah.
Two more years on top of that.
Yeah.
Two versus nine. You look at their roster compared to our roster. You look at top 10 players. They've got Tyrann Mathieu. They've got Chris Jones. They've got Frank Clark. They've got Fisher. Maybe he's not, but Mitchell is. The right tackle is a top 10 player. You've got Patrick Mahomes. You've got Travis Kelce. You've got Tyreek Hill. Like, I just rattled off seven top 10 players. We struggled going, well, Vaughn was a top 10 player. Is he still? Yeah, I give him a top 10 player. Is Justin Simmons? I don't know. You know, Kareem Jackson makes more. Mike Kliss came on and said, well, maybe both safeties are top 10 players because Kareem Jackson made more plays, except you got that DUI at the end of the season.
Yeah.
I mean, we want to talk about, you know, for years on this radio station, I've been talking about the lack of the dearth of talent. Just the dearth of talent from a competitive standpoint, that's the problem. And everybody's mad at me, right? Everybody's angry at me.
No.
You know, shut up. You're not right. You know, blah, blah, blah. It's coaching. We've gone through a bazillion coaches. We've gone through a bazillion offensive coordinators. We've gone through all this stuff. You know what? The bottom line is, you look at their roster compared to our roster. You look at a world championship roster compared to our roster. We're not even close.
Yeah.
Now, hopefully, some of the guys you drafted, you know, rise up and play at that type of level. But when you look at it just from that way, top 10 players on their roster compared to our roster, we're not close.
Mm-hmm.
Not close.
Yep. You're talking about two different issues here. One issue is, why can't you get a contract done with your safety? And the second issue is, hey, you've drafted horribly the last, what, decade probably, right?
Decade,
going
yeah.
Going back that far?
Yeah, if you really look at, and this is another one that blows me away. Do you know that Von Miller is the only first-round draft choice you've taken in the last 10 years that's earned a second contract?
Yeah, you said that the other day. I didn't know that until that's
mind-blowing.
Yeah.
It's mind-boggling.
Yeah. Okay, so you got one issue. Hey, I'm drafted very well at all, right? I mean,
correct.
I think that's really clear. I think everybody over at Broncos land will tell you that. No, we haven't. You look at the numbers. I mean, you just pointed some of those out. They can't deny that. When you don't get a contract done with your safety, who's a great guy off the field, very good on the field, probably a top 10 at his position, and you can't get a contract done, there's a reason for that.
Right.
There's a reason behind that, whether it's uncertainty of the salary cap moving forward, his agent wants way too much. You don't know what the other side is saying. There's reasons for
Absolutely.
That. I'm not defending the Broncos and not getting this done. I'm not doing that. But I can tell you, Mark, as an attorney and as somebody who has worked with an agent before and been a representative of the owners, I can tell you there's a reason for this stuff sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as a fan, we're going, yeah, why can't they get this done? It makes total sense. But there are reasons why it's not getting done. It's not because they don't like Justin Simmons.
Right.
They love him. I know they do.
Yeah.
Everybody that I talk to over there says the same. They rave about him like you do on the field and especially off. So there's other reasons for that. Are we tapped out? Is there just too much of the unknown moving forward with COVID? Is it, you know, is he asking for too much? Are we really close and people think we're not? You know, there are reasons behind that.
Yeah.
I would like to know what those reasons are. And we really don't know. Right.
Right.
I mean, that's the unknown that we have, that we're facing.
You are 100% correct. The other thing I also think, Jerry, is one of the things, and you mentioned it with LaTroy Hawkins, you know, the money aspect of Patrick Mahomes signing in Kansas City wasn't the main factor. They sat for an hour. It's LaTroy Hawkins, Patrick Mahomes' father, Patrick Mahomes. And the money aspect of it never came up. And I watched a clip of Mahomes yesterday talking about money is not the most important thing. You know, money in the contract was not the most important thing. Like, there becomes a time when you as a franchise do things the right way, you create a culture, and you create a place where people want to be.
I got you. Yep.
And I think right now in the league, people know who Andy Reid is.
Mm-hmm.
They know his personal struggles, you know, with his family struggles. They understand who he is.
Yep.
Andy Reid's one of the great, he's just one of the great people in this league.
I've heard that.
Yeah, he just is. He's just one of the great people in this league. Yeah, I have a absolute ton of respect for Andy Reid. So he's just that way, you know, he's just a guy that nurtures coaches and wants, he, like, Like, there's some guys that don't want coaches. Like, if you interview, you better get that job because, you know, I'm not having you back here. They hang it over your head. They lord over you. He is about grooming guys and getting them opportunities. And we've seen that. You know, we've seen it with his last two coordinators on the offensive side getting head coaching jobs. You know, one in Philadelphia, one in Chicago. That's who he is. Guys want to play for Andy Reid, so they've created this destination spot. So you're 100% right. You know, maybe Justin Simmons is looking at it going, maybe I want to play one more year here and see what else is out there for me. You know, it could be as simple as that. Mm-hmm. And it could be like, hey, I deserve top three money in this league based upon second team all. If I'm second team all pro, means they consider me the second best safety in football.
Yeah.
So I should have a contract that reflects that, right?
Yeah.
And they're saying, well, we want to make you a top 10 guy mm-hmm. or top 7 guy. Well, that's not good enough.
Yeah.
And I understand that too. Well, not getting that done. And so somewhere in there is where the negotiation stalled.
Yep.
I'm sure.
Yep.
But, my point is, it's still, regardless of how that worked out, it still goes to the organization. You got to find a way to get your guys done.
I got you. Got to go to break here. But yes or no, that's the way the Chiefs are, like the Broncos used to be. Destination,
yes.
Right? And I want to play.
Absolutely.
I want to play there. I want to play in Denver.
Yeah.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. Morning Brew is next.
Good morning.
Morning.
It's time for your Morning Brew.
Things are going to get weird.
You're going to keep lightning, and you're going to crack thunder.
Okay, this guy needs coffee and coolers. Stat.
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What?
Orange mocha frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy. This some serious gourmet.
Let's get it on.
I'm just because I was home, you know, so I was quarantined for 14, 15 days, but we have a little private house, so I was with my girlfriend, so it was actually a kind of vacation for us, so I work out every day, I enjoy every day, so it was actually not that bad.
That is the Nuggets All-Star Center, Nikola Jokic. Speaking of the media, he made it to Orlando. We were wondering about that. He made it there through all the confusion and all
missed flights.
Well, you know what? I think once you test positive for coronavirus, it gets pretty crazy with protocol, trying to go from country to country, right?
I can see why he was late.
But he's there. He's there. Not going to undergo physical testing, but good to have the Nuggets' great center back.
And then I don't know what the quarantine situation is for him once he gets into Orlando, into the bubble and all those kind of things. How much time do they need? Like, how much time does he need? Because he's lost a bunch of weight. I would say, like, you want him in games. I know these first 8 games or whatever they're going to play to finish up the season don't really matter, but they do matter. Like, you want... There's a difference between riding a treadmill or running on a treadmill and doing and going up and down the hard court. So how many games does he need? I guess that's my long-winded way of asking you how many games he needs.
Handful, you know, 4, 5, 6 games, I would think.
Yeah.
But you have to believe, don't you, Mark, that he's been playing. I mean, he's obviously working out.
Right.
But over in Serbia, when he's stuck there, he's probably playing some pickup. He's playing some kind of basketball.
You would hope so, but, I mean, he did have Corona while he was over there, so.
Yeah, but when you make that kind of money, you go, hey guys, you know, I'm going to pay you $5,000. Come practice with me. Can you do that? And there's a risk of getting coronavirus, but come on in here. Now, I just think he's
right.
He's lost all this weight, and it's not like he's going to go into gym and start playing basketball for the first time.
Do you know if he was asymptomatic the whole time, pretty much?
I don't know that.
Yeah,
I don't know that. But he lost all that weight, and it's like, okay, I don't think it's like, okay, now you're going to go into a gym and see if you can play basketball 40 pounds lighter. He's been playing. Trust me, he has been. And the Nuggets, I have to believe, have control over that. Like, we want you to lose weight during the coronavirus, but you need to keep doing this and that. I just think they have it figured out.
I don't want to get coronavirus, but I want to lose 30 pounds. But I don't want to I don't want to have a strict diet or exercise. So
you're in trouble.
Yeah. Do you think I can make it?
You don't drink, so that's good.
Yeah. So next, I got that going for me.
Next up on Morning Brew.
The big right there, Allen downfield. Oh, it's picked off on the play by Simmons. One of the best players on this defense. One of the best safeties in the game. Justin Simmons has just picked off Josh Allen.
That's our good friend Kevin Harlan saying, hey, one of the best safeties in the game right there, just like we've been talking about.
Yeah.
Justin Simmons may not get that long-term contract. Frustrating for Broncos fans. We understand that by itself. And when you stack it up against what the Chiefs are doing with their star players, it really gets frustrating.
I think that's that to me is the biggest thing is you're sitting here in a, you know, you're sitting here, you haven't beaten the Chiefs in what, 9 straight contests? And you're like, how are we going to compete with the Chiefs? And now I get it. He'll be on the roster and he'll have a, you know, a franchise tag that he'll play under and he'll make a lot of money and good for Justin Simmons and that. But, you know, you would like some security there as a player. And you'd like a long-term, you know, you'd like a long-term deal. You'd like to be rewarded. And when you see other people getting rewarded across the league, you know, what do we always say about, I mean, I just glance over to the TV, ESPN is on, and they're talking about Dak Prescott. What does everybody say about Dak Prescott? Well, they didn't give him a long-term deal because they really don't love him that much. Like, that becomes the narrative. Well, why did Justin Simmons not get a long-term deal from the franchise? Because they're really not sure? I mean, and again, if I was going to have a criticism, and I've had this criticism for 5 years, you wait until the 11th hour. You identify a good young player. You draft a good young player. You work to get that good young player to where he's at. You know you like him. And instead of jumping and maybe overpaying him a little bit a year early to have some salary cap consistency, right? So some to know what your cost or your value is going to be there, and eventually have him playing on a contract that is a value contract, you wait till the 11th hour and then you have to pay him top dollar. Like that part I don't understand. Same thing with Dak Prescott. I don't understand.
Yeah, no, I think most of the time, my guess is the agent on the other side, the player agent, is saying, you know what, I want, you know, 16, you're going to make a long-term deal, you know, a year early. We want $16 million. And then we can't do that. That's not going to work. So you go on, and eventually in the 11th hour, you come to something in the middle.
Right.
That's usually the way it happens anyway.
Well, they've got till 2 o'clock. The 11 o'clock hour is at 2 o'clock.
Yeah, that's right. The 2 is a new 11.
Yeah, the 2 is a new 11.
Something like that. Yeah. Next up on Morning Brew.
Bortles in the 2-minute offense. 3 wide left, 1 wide to the right. Bortles will run a screen. It's intercepted! It's picked out of the sky! It's picked at 10-5! Touchdown! Kansas City! Chris Jones!
Always nice when a defensive lineman can pick off a pass and run in for a touchdown.
Unless it's against your team.
It's against the Broncos. Yeah. Exactly right. Yeah, no, some more frustration. Chris Jones for the Chiefs gets his deal done.
Right. He's a phenomenal player. I heard a bunch of people say, well, now that they got Patrick Mahomes done, they're not going to be able to get Chris Jones
done.
I
heard the same thing.
And I'm just like, please. The salary cap is a myth. It really is. When you really think about the salary cap, any team can pay any player that they want to pay. They can manipulate that damn thing. They can renegotiate contracts that they have, long-term contracts that they have. They can give guys more upfront money. Now, here's where it becomes restrictive, is if you're a team that doesn't have cash on hand.
Yeah.
Right? Because when you sign a guy, you've got to have that signing bonus money there, and then you've got to have a certain amount of money that you can store, you know, that you can put away to basically match that contract, say, we can pay this contract. So teams that lack cash, that are cash poor, have a tougher time manipulating the salary cap. But again, it is a soft cap. It's not the hard cap that the NFL likes to believe that it is.
So Chris Jones' contract says he gets a $37 million upfront signing bonus.
Mm.
Does he like get that money today?
Well,
I mean, does he get the check today?
When he signs his name, they cut him a check. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Isn't that great?
So you take taxes out, you're still making 20. That's a $20 million check.
Could you imagine?
Wow. That's more than winning the lottery.
Right.
Most of the time.
Like that story that floats around about who's a great base stealer, Ricky Henderson.
Ricky Henderson, yeah.
He went through all his finances and found out that he was a million short on something, and he called up the, I think it was the A's at the time, and was all upset about them cheating him out of $1 million or whatever.
Yeah.
And it turned out he framed his $1 million signing bonus check. and had it hanging in his.
No way.
Oh, yeah.
I heard that story.
Yeah,
that's a story.
That's what Ricky's got a lot of stories that float around. But,
I know.
It's true. I don't even care if it's true. It's a great story.
So how about getting a $20 million check and taking the bank? Hey, can I deposit this thing in my checking account?
Right, exactly.
This one's interesting. Next up on Morning Brew.
2-2 to Martin. Ground ball up the middle, into center field for a base hit. Here comes Seager, and here comes Smith. And the Dodgers have won it again in the bottom of the ninth.
The big bad Dodgers, 6 division championships in a row, and they're making headlines of something they're doing off the field in the stadium, Dodger Stadium. They're going to sell seats outfitted with cutouts of fans' faces.
Mm-hmm.
And fans are going to pay money for that.
Right.
And Urgent Care asked me if I thought people were going to buy those. Absolutely they will.
Oh, in L.A.?
Yeah,
too?
That's what I'm saying.
Of course they'll buy them. Yeah. Like, look at my face was back there.
Yeah.
The people that sit behind home plate all the time.
Heck yeah.
What's the gal's name? Is it Diane Cannon that's always back there?
No. What's your name? Mary Hart.
Mary Hart?
Mary Hart.
Yeah.
And by the way, great Mary Hart connection. She is from my hometown. 6,000 people, Madison, South Dakota. She's the most famous person from our town.
Madison,
Mary Hart is from Madison High School, Madison, South Dakota. Yep.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's beside the point. But I think people are going to definitely pay money for those things.
I do too. I do too. You know, it's interesting, and I didn't even think about this. The Dodgers are doing what they're doing down at their stadium.
Yeah.
They're working out every day. Even though there has been a new stay-at-home order in L.A. For non-essential workers that are until September 8th. So apparently they're essential workers. So I'm sure the same exemptions will be passed on to the Chargers, to the L.A. Rams, to to everybody else, anybody else in that area anymore, or the 49ers, the who else is in California? Is that it?
What, for football
NFL teams?
NFL teams.
Niners, Rams, and Chargers.
Raiders.
Raiders are now in
and then,
Vegas.
And, okay, I guess.
Yeah, they're now in Vegas.
I guess they work out in Vegas now, too.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, so apparently they'll be essential workers. Because we talked about this. I mean, they're trying to open up camps, next week, right? Or July 28th? And so, in states where, coronavirus is spiking right now, that's kind of a hard thing to do. And I have argued on this show, and people have gotten upset about this a time or two, but I have argued on this show that professional sports is essential. In my mind, it's essential. So, anyhow.
Yeah, I got you. So, back to Justin Simmons, that whole thing about being cash poor. Would it make the Broncos, in your mind, then, if you're making that argument, cash poor? I mean, and the Chiefs the opposite way?
I don't think so necessarily. I mean, I think that Patrick Mahomes took a really sweetheart deal. I mean, he's going to make him, unless catastrophic injury happens, he's going to make the lion's share, maybe all of that $503 million. So I think he only took $10 million up front. And so it gave them an opportunity as an organization over the next 2 years to continue to get guys signed.
Yeah.
And then as the cap goes up, there'll be constant renegotiation of that. It's very much, to me, it'll be very much like what Brady had done for Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots over years and years and years. People kept saying, look at how altruistic Tom Brady is, and he never takes the most money, and he's, and he just keeps getting up front money. And it keeps his cap value low.
Right.
But he's making, he is making a ton of money during that whole.
That's why you say that salary cap's deceptive.
Right.
At times, right?
Right. It'll lie to you. It's like statistics,
Yeah.
It is, I mean, it's very much like, Rapsodo reports in baseball, I mean, you can decide what you want to decide, which is funny, like the way that baseball has gone to so much, and you covered baseball forever. So much of it is statistically driven by guys who are making decisions that have never actually played or never actually even watched baseball, but they'll read these reports. And so, I was talking to an organization about my son the other day, and I sent them his Rapsodo versus their lefties' Rapsodos. It's not even close. Mm. He throws harder than every one of their lefties. He's got a better, much better spin rate by several hundred points on their four seam, on his two seam. His curveball is 500 RPMs better than any lefty curveball they have in their organization. I mean, you're talking the difference between, you know, 2,500 on a curveball, 2,500 RPMs on a curveball versus 3,000 RPMs on a curveball.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in every category, it blows them away, except he's 34 and they're 26.
Right.
And but then you look at it and go, yeah, but their ERA in minor leagues is 6.4.
Mm.
I get the 34 thing.
Yeah.
I'm not asking for, I mean, 1 year. But, you know, you start to manipulate these numbers and look at these numbers and, you know, and organizations always spin it to like, oh, my God, yeah, but look at the late life or look at the this, that. And I'm like, I'm concerned about outs. Can you mm-hmm. get outs? You know, mm-hmm. same thing with with the cap thing is you can fit it. If your desire is to fit it, you can fit it. But bottom line, going back to Justin Simmons, like, did you not know? Like, you get into the last year of the contract. If you let yourself get into the last year of the contract, then the agents aren't going to sign. They're going to let they're going to let that play out.
For sure.
But if you come to Justin Simmons at the end of, not last season, but the end of the season before, knowing that he's trending, knowing that he's going to be a really good player, and you get him, signed it, you know, you offer him life-changing, generational-changing money, then all of a sudden he's making $9 million a year, and that's a ton of money for him because he hasn't hit free agency yet.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're sitting there going, wow, we've got a great player under contract for another 3 years before we even have to think about that contract. We've got salary cap certainty, and he is, you know, he's making $3 million or less year less than he probably should be, or $4 million, but, you know, he came a year early, so he got it. Instead of making $600,000, he made $9 million last year.
Mm-hmm.
So for him, he's like, I'm way ahead of the game. Like, right. That's the game. That's the salary cap game you have to play. And that's just another reason where I keep looking at, why did DT get to the franchise tag? Why did Von Miller? You didn't think Von Miller was good? Why did you let him get to the salary, to the franchise tag, and then you had to make him the highest paid player in the NFL? Like, those things to me, if you see a player, you develop a player, you draft a player, and that player becomes the best at his position or one of the top three or four at his position, then you should be willing to come to that player a year early and get him locked up long term. Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. just my personal view of how it should be done.
It happens in baseball a lot more than people think. You got, baseball is tricky with the salary structure, because you come up, you got 3 years with a rookie salary, 3 years with arbitration. So right. It's a 6 year period before technically you become a free agent. A lot of teams, you know this, Mark, a lot of teams are going early. We're going to take a couple of your arbitration years away, sure, but we're going to pay you. We're going to give you that free agent
Rockies
deal.
Rockies did it with Marquez, right?
They did, yeah. And they did with Marquez. And I think they were ready to do it with Kyle Freeland until he had that bad season last year. Trevor, you know, Nolan, they took a year, mm-hmm. I think, of his. Charlie Blackmon had the same thing happen to him. So baseball is that way. Now, if you don't give them that contract, you're still eligible for arbitration. You're going to make some money in arbitration if you're a good player, obviously.
Right.
But you take some of that away and you get that player signed early because you recognize Trevor Story and, you know, Charlie Blackmon and Marquez, they're our foundation for the future. Let's knock a couple of arbitration years off, get them this contract early before they become a free agent, and now we got them as one of our foundation pieces.
Right.
I think that's what you're getting at with football.
Yeah.
You see a guy like Justin Simmons, you see early that he's going to be a contributor, you want him on your team, you're going and saying, yeah, we're a year or two early, but we're going to give you this deal because we love you and we're going to all be happy.
Yeah.
And that doesn't happen.
Right. And
all the time.
It doesn't happen all the time. And you know, and again, like you said, we started the show, it's easy to spend other people's money. But, you know, I made this bet with D-Mac several months ago, probably January-ish. Maybe it was during the Super Bowl, but it was, you know, several months ago, that the Kansas City Chiefs would find a way to get Patrick Mahomes a new contract before the start of the season. He would get a new contract coming into, actually, initially was before the start of training camp. And DMAC was like, there's no way they still have this year and the fifth year option. You know, he's only played 3 years. They're going to take another year. And I go, no, they're going to do it the right way. They're going to go after him and lock him up long term. And here's what I always say is you can't be afraid to set the market on a long term deal, because eventually, once you set the market, it's only a matter of time before people exceed the market. That's how the marketplace works, especially in football. So we can look at this with the San Francisco 49ers trading for Jimmy Garoppolo and instantly giving them this big time, this big deal. At the time, people thought, you're crazy. He's only played, you know, he's played a handful of games. He's got like 11 starts total, and you gave him $27 million a year. People thought they were crazy. I look at Jimmy Garoppolo now. He's a Super Bowl quarterback. He's a Pro Bowl quarterback. And he looks like at $27 million, he's a bargain. I mean, an absolute bargain. When you look at Patrick Mahomes is making $45 million a year, or will be. So those are the things that I think you have to do. You have to be really good as a front office at not only picking your players to draft, developing those guys, but understanding which guys that are long-term franchise plays.
Yeah.
You know, pointing those guys out, figuring those guys out, and getting them locked up into long-term deals a year or two early.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I just think to maintain your roster so you're not always chasing your roster, mm-hmm. right? Because when you start to chase your roster, like when you start to chase positions that don't pan out and you don't draft well, so you're constantly chasing the same position over and over and over again, and then you're like, well, we don't, you know, we're going to wait on this guy, and we're going to wait on this guy, and we don't want to do this because this guy didn't pan out. It is like this just, it's like a dog chasing its own tail.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And unfortunately, I know, you know, it's not easy. I get that. I'll give them a hall pass because, you know, you're going to hold people accountable. I mean, that's, you know, you point out the deficiencies or the lack of, you know, the lack of success. And you say you got to be held. That's a business we're in, right? We're not in the try hard business.
Right.
You know, I mean, same thing for this, same thing for what we're doing. Listen, if we don't get ratings, you know what happens? We get fired.
All right.
We don't get bonuses, and then we get fired. That's the game we all play. I mean, everybody play. There's not one person driving down I-25 right now that doesn't understand that if they don't do a good job at their place of employment, eventually they will get fired. Right? I mean, isn't that the world we live? I don't care what you did in the past. I don't care how many accolades you have hanging on your office walls. I don't care what. If you stop producing, eventually you get fired.
And that goes for players and theoretically anyway, GMs.
Right.
Unless you're the Dallas Cowboys, the GM cannot fire himself.
Right.
All right. So that's a good point.
Good.
All right. Hey, you made a point about scouting and about identifying players and all that, which is, we know, is an all inexact science. You know what? This number is kind of staggering to me. How many in Major League Baseball, how many first round draft picks ever make the big leagues? You know what that number is? What would you guess as
how many
a percentage?
First round picks eventually make
the big leagues.
I'm going to say it's a very low number. I'm going to say about 23%.
Well, it's not that low.
Okay.
But it's less than, it's 49%.
Okay.
So less than half of number one picks ever step on a big league field.
All right.
How about that?
Yeah.
Different in basketball, obviously very different in football, but in baseball it's different that way. So you're selecting a number one draft pick, you're thinking, all right, that guy's going to be our future. Boy, not in baseball, not necessarily.
Yeah.
And I look at the list of Rocky's first round draft picks, I think it's probably about where you said it was, around 20-some percent.
Right.
I'm looking at names I've never heard of before, let alone guys that have played in the big leagues. We'll break when we come back. We'll stick with baseball. Raimel Tapia of the Rockies, an outfielder, made a statement to MLB yesterday, their MLB beat writer, saying he wanted to be the league MVP. That's next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.